back again. Tuesday edition of the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. Ike, how we feeling?
Well, Spike, it's 2 days later.
Mm-hmm.
Feel a little bit better today. Jackie Baseball puts me 1 day closer to Saturday. I'm excited about that. Holla at your boy.
Belichick.
I'm excited for Saturday as long as it's not the Mets. Little bit scared.
Little worried about the Mets.
Little scared.
Come on, Reese.
Little scared.
Come on, Reese.
Yeah, let's go Brewers. I'll say that while losing four of the Brewers.
Exactly.
Yeah. So we do have a breather after yesterday. Boy, nobody was happy yesterday. You weren't happy listening. I wasn't happy. Ike, you weren't happy.
Nope.
Jack was probably a little happy, actually.
Yeah, he probably was a little happy. Mitch,
yeah, put that to the side for a moment. So it is the big show as always. You know, 3 o'clock, Elliot Shore Parks joins us for a full hour of yelling and screaming. It's going to be great. Coming up at 4 o'clock, Jordan Mailata joins us, as he does every Tuesday at 4 o'clock. Top 5 of 5 coming at 5. We have a fantasy update later. I know you're locked in for that one. But it's not only the bye week for the team. On some level, it's a bye week for us. So the team gets a chance to take a breather, reassess, right? Look at what they've done, look at what they're going to do, and attack after the bye week. And Ike, I'm giving you who are listening, I'm giving you a chance to reassess as well. We're going to play a game on the WIP Afternoon Show today called Hold 'em or Fold 'em. Ah, I wish Jack could hit the thing there, but
yeah, he's not
on his game.
It's wait, I'm gonna, now he comes in late with it.
Yeah, well, now he's trying. there we go. Win or hold him.
I tell you, if the rest of the day is going to be like this.
Win or hold him.
I was talking to a caller.
Yes.
I mean, holy cow.
All right.
So we have our moments.
Yes. You haven't really been on point for like weeks now.
I'm barely behind the board anymore.
That was his Jalen thing.
Oh.
Yes. Okay. Yes. We're not getting along and we're fighting all the time.
Okay.
Yes.
So, with Hold 'em or Fold 'em, we all made our... Okay. Cue it right up to no one to hold them, when to fold them. That's the only criticism I have there. So, with a Hold 'em or Fold 'em, all right. With Hold 'em or Fold 'em, I'm going to give you a chance to look back at your preseason prediction for the Eagles. We all made our predictions. Here's how many games they're going to win. Here's how far they're going to go in the playoffs. Blah, 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 blah. And everyone's going to have a chance to redo it. You're going to be able to hold 'em, which means you will stay with what your prediction was, or fold 'em, and you will get to redo your prediction and say, you know what, my prediction was completely wrong. I've seen 4 weeks of this team, and I know what they are. They're not what I thought they were. So, as you know, your name is first on the show, Ike.
Yeah.
You are the football expert on the show. You played for the Philadelphia Eagles.
I did.
You get to go first. Ike.
I get to show my cards first.
You get to count your money when you're sitting at the table.
Right.
No, you get to hold them or fold them.
Hold them.
You're holding them.
No, I'm just repeating what you're saying.
Yes, you get to hold them, which means you're staying with your preseason prediction, mm-hmm. which I believe was 12-5.
Yep.
And in the NFC Championship game or something of that like. But you can either hold them or fold them. Ike, what are you doing?
Well, let me just get it out of the way. I'm certainly going to hold them.
Okay.
What are you talking about? I didn't get in this game to fold them at the first sign of adversity or the first sign of, you know, maybe you have just got the card that you wanted, and maybe, you know, that player over there. Okay, I'm trying to give a whole poker reference here. It's not really working for me. I tried. I tried. My point is this. I'm going to hold them. They're sitting at 2-2 right now. They're sitting at 2-2 right now. And listen, yesterday was painful for me to get through. It really was.
Mm-hmm.
Because my natural reaction is to defend the Birds.
But you knew it wasn't right at the time.
Of course.
Yes.
And listen, I was upset
mm-hmm.
and disappointed. Disappointed mainly at the effort. So I understood. I wasn't upset that they lost the game. You know, even though I picked them to win Friday, deep down, I knew yesterday or Sunday's game would be a difficult game for them to win. But I didn't expect them to go down there and go down 24-0 and really never appear to be in the game. That's what was so frustrating to me. Even with that, I still have great hopes for this team. I still believe that this team has a chance to do something special. They got a lot of work to do. I'm not telling you they don't have a lot of work to do, and it starts at the quarterback position, cleaning up his play, making sure that he is either an asset or a driving force. He certainly can't be a detriment to the team, someone that hurts the team's chances of winning. Just like the head coach, but mainly him. He can't be that when they come back from the bye week. I still believe that he can get this fixed. Tell me it's blind faith, green goggles, whatever. That's where I'm at. After 4 weeks, I'm not throwing in the towel. And not only that, I think the schedule sort of lightens up for us a little bit here over the next month when you look at Cleveland, New York, Cincinnati, and Jacksonville.
Mm.
Not easy wins,
yep.
But not wins that you can't get.
Sure.
Like, you can beat those teams. Cincinnati may be playing better in a few weeks. They certainly have the talent. And I expect that to be a tough game when they go to Cincinnati. But playing Cleveland at home, playing New York on the road, playing Jacksonville at home, at worst, we should be 3-1 over the next month. So in 3-1, we're sitting at, what, 5-3
mm-hmm.
after 8 games with 9 left to play? 5-3 with 9 left to play, I'm okay with that. You finish up 4 out of your 5 games at home at the Link against inferior competition, with the exception of the Dallas. Well, I can't even. Yeah, with the exception of the Dallas Cowboys at that time, Pittsburgh may be still a good team at that time. But this team should get better. So I'm going to hold them 12-5. It's shaky. It's shaky. But I look around the league, and there are a lot of teams that are just now starting to find their footing. Some surprises early. We'll see how this thing shakes out over the next month. I think the Eagles have a chance to get healthy with their schedule and healthy physically. I still believe in the talent. I'm going to hold them.
All right. 215-592-9494. It's Hold'em or Fold'em Day on the WIP Afternoon
that's
Show.
That's a pair.
We are giving you...
No balls.
We are giving you the chance to redo your preseason prediction. That would be folding them or hold them. You can stick with your preseason prediction. Or I guess folding them would be you also saying that your preseason prediction wasn't good enough, but I don't think anybody's
well,
going there.
Yeah, going
yeah,
down
yeah, I don't think anybody's going there.
No one's increasing their window?
Nah, I don't think so. So my preseason prediction was more conservative than most. I did say that I thought they would win 10 games. They would be 10-7. And I did say also that there was a possibility they would start off slow. There was a world in which they start off slow. They get better as they start to, you know, get a better grasp of the offense, get a better grasp of the defensive, you know, new defensive coach, and that they come together in the second half of the season. Unfortunately, the vibes do not indicate to me that that is the direction that it would go. In fact, the vibes seem so shaky right now. I feel like there's a better chance of it unraveling completely than it going the other way and them coming together. So I am going to revise my prediction to closer to an 8-win team. And here is why. The quarterback has not evolved in a way that I had hoped. He's still turning the ball over. He is still not under center. He is still not getting rid of the ball quickly. He does not seem to be processing things the way that we want him to. And he is, for a team that is based around the offense, insanely important in this team evolving. The second thing is that there's more evidence so far that the defense is terrible than it's mid-pack. And we did not need the defense to be top 10, but we needed them to be mid-pack. There was one example of them playing well this year. There have been little pockets in games, but overall, 3 out of the 4 games have been not particularly, would not give you optimism that the defense is going to pull it together. And then there's just the weirdness. There's the tweets after the game. There's the Slay going on the podcast with Micah Parsons. There's the quarterback won't take easy layups on the coach. And that coach and quarterback tension, I'm telling you, for two guys that are 3-4 years into their career is not good when they both need each other. Because I will say this, there's a better chance of both of them not being here next year than one of them being back and the other one not being back. They need each other. And one side of the does not feel like he needs it. So the vibes are not good. and I feel shaky on all of it, so I am folding them. 215-592-9494. Are you holding them or folding them on your preseason prediction of the Eagles? Jack, you had them with 11 wins. Yeah. Are you holding or folding?
Folding.
Okay.
Folding. You kidding me? Okay. I mean, holy cow.
Did you make that prediction just so you could fold it earlier? Yeah.
I thought they were going to be better. Okay. I really did. I thought they were going to be better. I thought Jalen was going to... I know I'm painted as anti-Jalen. I don't know how anyone could come to that conclusion.
Yeah, I have no idea how.
I thought he was going to be better, and he looks like the exact same quarterback, if not like a smidge worse.
So you're folding.
I'm folding.
What is your new prediction?
9-7.
Okay. They're only going to play. They're going to give up on the last game.
I haven't adjusted to the 17-game schedule yet.
All right, that's fair. 215-592-9494. It's hold them or fold them. Can you play the music one more time just so I have it there? Hold them or fold them day. Wow. He's just... There we go. 215-592-9494. Our leadoff hitter, the Tim Raines of the WIP Afternoon Show, Corey in Columbus, the trader, you're on WIP. Hey, Corey.
What's up, man? Listen, I told y'all yesterday, I'm riding with the Eagles until the shit falls. What did I say, 12-5?
Yes.
You know, I said 12-5. I'm riding with 12-5. Look, we 2-2. Hold on, this schedule, I'm looking at it, man. We got the
Dude, the schedule's not as easy as people keep saying.
Oh, it's easy. Dude, well,
what are you talking
not
about?
Difficult.
This is a mediocre football team. It's like, oh, we're going to go beat the Browns.
We got the mistake by the lake coming to Philly.
Okay.
Right? Then we got the New Jersey Giants. Then we got the Southern Ohio Pussycats. Come on, man. The schedule, man. Come on, man. Like, Batman is going to be back. Gotham City Batman is going to be City Batman is going to be back. Listen, I'm not jumping off this ship yet. I'm not SOSing. I don't need to make no fire to alert nobody to come save me. No, listen, we it's a bye week. I heard Vic Fangio say Cooper DeJean is close. I told y'all, listen, Maddox, that dude, we don't ever need to see him play football again. He can retire right now. We will need to see this dude play. All right. Darius Slay, this dude is a clown. We got to deal with a clown. Like, you know what it is with Darius Slay? This is a little change. I realize I studied this dude and I figured it out. When that dude played in Detroit, Detroit had no expectations. So that dude was the best player on the team. So he was never getting flat. Like, you know, when we got Slay, he's our cornerback. You know, he's the top guy in the league. So there was never no expectations. You come to Philly, now expectations every year to win. That's his problem. He don't know what it takes to win. But it's cool, you know. I'm not going to be jumping off the ship just yet. 12-5, we still going to get there. We ain't played no divisional games. The Dallas Cowboys.
Well, the Giants haven't played bad this year. I mean, they haven't been good, but they haven't been bad.
It won't be an easy win.
Yeah, they haven't. I mean, they're not a good team. They're probably going to win 6 or 7 games, but they haven't played bad. The Cincinnati Bengals were preseason. Like I understand that
they didn't have T. Higgins early.
Yeah, they're a good team. I don't know.
Let me close with this.
Yeah.
When this team was fully healthy, 100%.
Yeah.
Right.
Uh-huh.
Week one.
Uh-huh.
We put up 34 points. Yes, Hurts turned the ball over, but we put up 34 points, and this defense got some key stops in the red zone playing on a cow pasture, right? Cow pasture. Ain't that what Baldy said?
That's what Baldy said.
When I get these dudes healthy, week one, 34 points, man, y'all better stop playing with me. Man, go birds till I die, baby.
Now, hold on. One last thing, Corey. Now, we hold you in high regard here at the WIP Afternoon Show. You know, we've gone back and forth. You and I, we've had our debates, but we hold you in high regard. Foxhole guy, blah, 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 all that kind of stuff. This morning, there are reports that you were a morning show caller.
Let me get this out the way real quick.
Okay.
So, you know, I ride and die with the Afternoon Show. This is my team.
Yeah.
But you know, I've been hearing a lot of slander. Like I'm hearing this dude. I ain't gonna say his name because we ain't saying talking about. I might take Deshaun Watson, all these dudes over Michael Jordan. So when I hear that,
can we stop with the Michael Jordan? I mean, come on. How long we keep it up with Michael Jordan?
My antenna gotta get raised up. So you know, I heard that. So I'm like, I gotta check this dude. And also, go Phillies with Jack. Tread lightly. That's all I'm gonna say. That's why I got the phone. Red light.
Wow.
Call, afternoon caller till I die.
Okay. Yeah. Drawing a line in the sand, though. All right.
He must have called to defend Jalen.
Yes, to the morning show host whose name we don't say anymore. Did he say that he might rather have Deshaun Watson today? Did he say that?
I think he's talking about Chuck. I don't know.
Oh, is he talking about other callers?
It might have been another caller. Oh, yeah. I don't think the camera said he wanted Deshaun Watson.
Caller on caller crime.
Right.
Would bring up a different.
That would bring up a whole different issue.
Well, they did try to get Deshaun Watson.
Well, they tried to get almost every other quarterback. Yeah, yes. We know. Come on.
215-592-9494. Hold 'em or fold 'em day on the WIP afternoon show with your preseason prediction. Jack in Newtown, you're on WIP.
Hey, good afternoon. Before I begin, just want to say one thing. I had the pleasure of playing against a football player who was a Heisman Trophy winner, college and pro Hall of Fame, and two-time Super Bowl champ. Who was it?
I don't know.
Jim Plunkett?
No.
Oh, he's not Hall of Fame anyway.
I don't know.
Two-time Super Bowl champ.
I mean,
you want to give me some type of error? If you want me to really guess, an error in which the guy played in.
Jack.
I'll give you a hint. I'm 80 years old.
Oh, what the hell?
I don't know.
I don't know.
Who?
Roger Staubach.
Okay. Oh, wow. There you go.
And you played against him?
I don't care.
In Quantico Marines versus Pensacola Naval Air Station.
Wow. Wow. Did you get the better of him at any point? What position did you play?
I was a defensive back. I was fast.
You pick him?
But this was Roger Staubach, so forget it.
It happens.
As we walked off the field, he and I went to the end of the line as he did, because you shake hands in the military.
Yep.
And as we're walking off the field, I said, I had the pleasure of seeing you play in Philadelphia. He said, oh, against Army? I said, no. He said, oh, no. I said, yeah, Notre Dame. Notre Dame had Alan Page as a defensive end. You hung up on me?
No, we're just waiting, getting a show.
Yeah, he said that wasn't good. I said, no, Notre Dame beat them 40-0. It was the year he won the Heisman. Anyhow, move on.
Okay.
I'm going to hold. My prediction was 8-9.
Oh, well, that's not that hard to hold. Yeah. What is matching up with your prediction preseason that keeps you there?
First of all, I think that we got to get rid of the coach. Right now would be the time to get rid of him because you got 2 weeks before the next game. I heard somebody in the prior program say Belichick is too old. Belichick is 72. Andy Reid is 66. He's not too old. He would command respect in that locker room more so than anybody else. And he pulled Jalen Hurts aside and say, young man, if you want to play football in the NFL, you do what I tell you.
That's not going to work. So,
Unfortunately, Jack. Now, Jack, I think all three of us. I don't want to speak. I know Jack would obviously. I know Ike is not to replace Nick, but would not be if they were to fire Nick. Would not be against hiring Bill Belichick.
Hell yeah!
But they ain't hiring Bill Belichick.
Eagles fly.
He's not. It's not happening during the bye week.
No,
there's no. Bill Belichick is going to go into a situation when he coaches again where everything is exactly how he wants it.
Yes,
and this is a situation that is a difficult one to take over in the middle. So I don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah, why would you want Bill Belichick to take over in the middle of the season to do what?
Right. But when you're firing your, it seems like if you're firing your head coach mid-season, it seems like you think you're right there and the head coach is in the way from you getting right there or something, and you think there's somebody, and most importantly, you think there's somebody on the staff who can take them there, or you're giving up on the season.
Yes.
And they're not going to give up on the season in week 5, and I don't think they think Kellen Moore is the next head coach of the Eagles, certainly not right now. So.
It rarely happens in the NFL. Usually when a coach gets fired in the middle of the season, you've thrown in the towel on the season. And you're trying to get an early look at what you want to do after the season. You basically put that guy out of his misery. And you're saying, you know what, we're evaluating the rest of the season as to who are we going to have around here moving forward. You're 2-2, ladies and gentlemen, with 13 games left to play. What owner in their right mind fires the head coach at a 2-2 record with 13 games left to play?
After you spent 2 weeks in the offseason deciding to keep him, when you had a chance to fire him, you know, months ago.
Now, if you were 0-4, okay, I could see, maybe that's a discussion at 0-4. Because now you're saying, okay, there is a small chance to salvage the season, but that's not really even important right now. We want to know who do we have going forward. That's not where the Eagles view their team. I know it's not popular to say. I don't know how disappointed or surprised they could be at losing Sunday. I think they're fortunate to be 2-2. I think they feel that way. With the injuries they dealt with and the way the quarterback has been playing, I think they feel fortunate to be 2-2 right now. You think the Eagles are sitting there saying, we should be 4-0.
Well, and the failures personnel-wise, you imagine Howie, who spent $51 million on Bryce Huff,
yes!
going into Nick and saying, you know, this is on you.
Right.
It would be a weird thing.
There would be way more questions and questions to be answered if the Eagles were to create this, not to mention the ripple effect in the locker room.
Mm-hmm.
And believe me, ladies and gentlemen, you don't want to go through the next 13, 14 weeks hopeless about the season.
I certainly don't.
So you can say what you want to say as far as how you feel today, sitting at 2-2. The difference is they got 2 weeks to get things fixed and get corrected, and they can change the fortune of their season. Their season isn't over with. They're 2-2 with 13 games to go.
So it's Hold'em or Fold'em Day on the WIP Afternoon Show. The team has a bye. We reassess at the bye, giving you a chance to reassess your preseason prediction. Are you going to fold them and say you have a new season prediction, or are you going to hold them and stay with what you predicted before the season? Jack is Fold'em. I'm Fold'em. Ike Hold'em. This is 215-592-9494. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. When to Hold'em. When to fold 'em, know when to walk away, know when to run. You never count your money. When you're sitting at the table, there'll be time enough for counting
when the evening's done.
So, all right, so this is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. We are giving you the opportunity today to hold 'em or fold 'em on your Eagles preseason prediction.
Fold 'em!
If you can't figure it out, fold 'em means that you are giving up on your preseason prediction. You have a new assessment. We will get back to that in a moment. We started yesterday's show, knowing that one Philadelphia legend, or at least in part Philadelphia, Dikembe Mutombo, had passed away. Mm-hmm. And then right after the show, Pete Rose passed away at the age of 82, I think he was.
83.
83 mm-hmm. years old. So Ike has growing up in Cincinnati, had a history of sort of the bigger-than-life Pete Rose.
My introduction to baseball. Pete Rose.
And I had a different one here. You know, Pete wasn't in Philly as long as he was in Cincinnati, but was a legendary player here, but was a part of my life when I was a kid. My dad was close with Pete, and I had a lot of interactions with Pete. And my specific interactions with Pete called me Pee Wee McGee when I was a kid. And up until I think I was 40 years old, I was probably on the phone with him, or my dad, you know, called me with him on the phone and was calling me that up until me being a grown up. And Pete was always very kind to me. I actually had the opportunity while he was player manager in Cincinnati to stay at his house. We went there, we stayed there for a few days. And, Pete was integral to the 80 World Series team, as we all know. Also, Pete was, as many people have remarked to me when I said something online yesterday, Pete was not a perfect person. Pete did some really bad things. And I think it illuminates how complicated and gray interesting the world can be sometimes, because there are good people who do bad things and there are bad people who do good things. And there are, you know, people in this world who are the worst murderers who have friends and family who still love them. And it doesn't to say that, you know, this guy was great at X and I had experience with X is not an endorsement of everything that person ever did. I don't endorse everything Pete Rose ever did. You know, to be honest with you, I don't endorse everything anybody's ever done in their entire lives. I know I consider myself a good person and there are plenty of people who hate me and say that I'm not a good person. So that is to say that he was a legendary baseball player, one of the greatest hitters who's ever lived, hit king. Yes, and it, in my life, when I was around Pete, Pete was always very kind to me. Mm-hmm. And so I was sad when I learned that Pete, you know, Pete had passed away. And that was my Pete Rose experience.
Yeah, Pete, for me, like I said, he's one of my first childhood heroes when you look at sports figures. Baseball in Cincinnati for so many years meant everything to the city of Cincinnati. You know, we took pride in being the first ever Major League Baseball team. So baseball was the sport in the city up and probably until about 15, 20 years ago when football just took over for everyone. But baseball was the number one sport in that city. It's still the last team to win a world championship in that city from the Cincinnati Reds. But Pete, there are certain things I knew as a kid. Hell, there was math equations I couldn't get through, but I knew what 41-92 meant.
Yes.
And I knew what 42-56. You could throw two numbers at me, 42-56, and I'll still see them as the all-time hits leader in Pete Rose. So those are numbers that are embedded in my brain. And if you're a child anywhere over your 30s, close to 40 years old and older, that's what Pete Rose meant to you coming up in Cincinnati. Born in Cincinnati, went to school in Cincinnati High School. If you had a chance to watch that documentary, it was on Netflix. I watched that about a month ago. That takes you deep into the history of Pete Rose as a player, as a person, the issues he dealt with off the field, and we understand all those things. Those are things that I believe he paid the price for as far as the gambling aspect of it as it pertains to baseball. And he wasn't perfect. He wasn't perfect, but I just, for me, you know, when someone has that sort of impression on you when you're young, and it's one of the first reasons why you become a sports fan and why I love sports and why I got into rooting for your home team and all those types of things, you know, Pete Rose is a big reason why that happened, because that dude in Cincinnati was larger than life. Still has his street, Pete Rose Way, down there. That leads into Great American Ballpark. It used to be right where Riverfront Stadium was at, right there on the Ohio River, where the other stadiums sit right now. So, like, yeah, I can imagine down there that there are a lot of people that hurt because of Pete is no longer with us. So, you know, I know you knew him personally. I got a chance to meet him several times. Quick story.
Yeah.
I actually sat with Pete Rose out in Vegas. Out in 05.
Is that when he's signing autographs?
Yes, yep. He was signing autographs out there in 05, and my wife and I were out in Vegas for the NBA All-Star Game, the one Kobe won MVP at. Yeah, we were out there for the NBA All-Star Game, and we're just going through the mall in Vegas. And just happened to walk past this memorabilia store, and there's Pete Rose sitting in there signing autographs. So I go in there, you know, give him this quick song and dance about me being a fan of his and being from Cincinnati, and told him I was with the Falcons at the time. And I told him, you know, I played with the Falcons or what have you. And he was like, man, sit down. So I looked at my wife and I'm like, Pete Rose, he want me to sit down here and hang out with him. And I must have sat there with him for about 45 minutes to an hour.
Just talking baseball.
While he's signing autographs and he's just, talking football.
Oh, really?
He wanted to talk football. Like, you know he's into sports, obviously.
Well,
yes.
Trying to find some inside information.
Yes, yeah. But that's probably it. I was ignorant and naive to it then. I was just happy to be sitting there. So, yeah, sat there with him, man, and he signed a Pete Rose jersey for me and put this long message on there that I still have, that you know, like I said, Pete Rose, man, he's just one of my first ever sports figures, first sports heroes.
Well, and the thing about your idols is it's nice when they live up to every expectation you have of them as a player and as a person. Most times they don't. But I think what is fair to say is that the bad things happened, but the joy that he brought people also exists. All of those things exist in his history. The bad things that he did exist in his history, and the joy that he brought people exist in his history. And I think it's fine to remember all of those things. And I would say this, when we say rest in peace a lot of times, I don't think there was a ton of peace in Pete's life overall. Pete was a chaotic player, lived a chaotic life, was, I think, you know, angry. And the Hall of Fame thing, I actually don't even care. We all know how good a player Pete Rose was. He's passed away now. To me, it doesn't matter anymore. But he did not find a lot of peace after that and was angry about it a lot. And I hope that at this point, that when I say rest in peace, I truly mean that I hope Pete is able to rest in peace and find peace with all that. Rest in peace, Pete Rose. Yes, go ahead.
One more real quick. Let me do this because this is another guy who we just found out passed away. That meant a lot to me also as a child, even as an actor, great actor he was. John Amos passed away today at 84 years old. And if you know who John Amos is, he first came into my life as a character on a sitcom network, on a sitcom television show called Good Times.
Ain't we lucky we got
him? Yes, sir. Yeah. Yes, sir. And Good Times was a huge TV show, especially in the African-American households. And when we like to talk about TV dads or what have you, I know Bill Cosby eventually became America's TV dad at one point before him. He sort of disgraced himself. But this dude here, he's my first ever TV dad, John Amos. That was the guy. I couldn't necessarily identify with Bill Cosby, the doctor and the lawyer, as a husband and a wife and everybody growing up in the same house. But John Amos, James Evans, and my father passed away when I was two. So I didn't really have a dad in the house. John Amos is the dad that every other kid in the neighborhood had as a dad in their household. So rest in peace to the great actor, John Amos, who we all know as James Evans, and he played in a lot of other movies, Coming to America. He played in a lot of other movies.
Yep. Well, he was McDowell's. Life. He owned McDowell's.
Oh, he owned McDowell's, yes. And coming to America.
It's funny you say he was the dad that everyone had in the black community. I feel like on some level, the Wonder Years dad, I think it was Dan Lario was his name, is like, oh, grumpy dad came home, doesn't feel like talking to the kids, you know, like that sort of thing. So rest in peace as well.
All right.
Now on to sports.
Yes.
The Twitter question is brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. Mark's is designing the ultimate championship ring for our listeners. Vote on the design. Find out how to win at 94wip.com/marks. Okay. Now, Ike is usually very good at guessing these percentages. Here is the Twitter question. As of right now, the Eagles will win more than 10.5 games or win less than 10.5 games. What do you think the percentage are? Over 10.5 or under 10.5?
Well, today I would imagine it's under 10.5.
What do you think the percentage is?
I don't think it's crazy. I think there's still people out there that want to believe this team is a 10-plus win team. So I'll go with close to 50-50. Let me go with 53%.
Stop talking.
Yeah, no? It's different. It's higher.
It is higher?
The under number is higher.
Oh, wow. Where you at? Where's it at?
It's higher than 53. It's higher than 60.
Wow.
It's higher than 70.
Wow.
It's 74%.
Oh, I'm completely off. Everybody is feeling pretty down right now.
Yeah, you're going to need to. You can a lot of times swing that pole. You got work to do, brother.
I got a lot of work to do.
Yeah,
man.
You got work to do. 215-592-9494. Reese in North Philly. Reese, are you holding them or are you folding them?
What's going on, fellas?
What's up, Reese?
Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, Joe Burrow, Jared Goff. Love, C.J. Stroud, Mahomes, Herbert, Stafford, Rodgers, Fields, Purdy, Geno Smith, Baker, McDaniels. And even though he's playing bad right now, Trevor Lawrence. If he was on this team with these weapons, all of them quarterbacks is all better than Jalen, Eric Hurts. And actually, if y'all don't mind, I got a Jalen Hurts is the Eagles version of Ben Simmons because Spike, you're the only person in the world. No, I think I hated Ben Simmons a little more than you, honestly. I'm going to be honest.
Okay. So,
but Jalen stands for just another lame excuse, not the answer.
Yeah, I think the people who are making the excuse. So the Ben Simmons thing flipped almost right away. I think it's an interesting comparison because there were a lot of people that wanted to believe in Ben so badly they ignored the pretty obvious flaws because of the things that were going on and the results and the team was winning and those sorts of things. But the Ben thing flipped right away. I mean, it was the Atlanta thing, the Atlanta series. Everybody went from mm-hmm. one side of the Ben Simmons thing to the other. And I do, it does seem like, it was just a Twitter poll, but yesterday we did one yesterday saying, are you having doubts about the future of Jalen Hurts being the long-term quarterback here? And 80% said yes.
Yeah.
It does seem like, even though he wasn't the worst thing on Sunday, there was something about Sunday's game that have flipped people, and it does not seem like there are the number of defenders, Reese, that you're talking about that were there even a month ago, you know, forgetting about a year ago, a month ago. It seems like it's really different now compared to then.
Spike, the season is over because Jalen Hurts is our quarterback. That's why the season is over.
Now, when did you come to that conclusion?
Well, listen, I'm going to be honest. I've never liked Jalen Hurts. I've been standing on it even when we went to the Super Bowl. I never believed in him in college.
Why have I never heard from you until today?
I'm going to break it down. I'm going to be honest with you. I have not liked Ben Simmons and Jalen Hurts more than any two players that's ever played for my team. I had to listen to the radio station.
To my ass.
Praise Ben Simmons so much, I stopped listening. I stopped calling. I couldn't take it no more. Couldn't take it. When he left, that's when I kind of came back. But this is my first call in a while, because the Ben Simmons supporters was killing me. And that Jalen Hurts supporter, OG Wade, what's his name?
Yeah, it's OG Wade.
Oh,
yeah,
God. Oh, my. This now I have to come. But you check my Twitter. Everybody know I don't like Jalen Hurts and Ben Simmons more than anybody. I like my ex-mom more than I like them, too.
Ah, wow. Okay.
Wow. Well...
I haven't heard that comparison before.
Yeah, you certainly laid it out there pretty clearly.
Yeah.
I guess it doesn't even matter for me to ask you about any other portion of the team.
Season's over with.
So, yeah. All right, Reese.
Once Jalen gone, then we'll be back up. But right now, we done. And one last thing.
Yes.
Jalen stands for just another lame excuse, not the answer.
Wow.
Much Jalen,
Yeah, I was going to say not the answer part. I got you. Kind of lumped all that in together.
It's not bad, though. He did a pretty good job.
He worked on that. He had long enough to work on it. Yeah.
He's waited 6 years to call. Yeah.
Yes.
Just another lame excuse.
Not the answer.
Not the answer.
Yes.
Jalen Antha.
It's not bad. It's not bad.
It's
not bad.
It's good work.
It's not bad.
I like Jag.
Just another guy?
Just another guy. Just a guy. Just a guy.
Oh, just a guy. Is it just a guy?
Just a guy. Jag is just a guy. Yeah, yeah. Rich in Harrisburg, you're on WIP. What's up, Rich?
Well, first of all, I got a revise from my 13-4, and I got to go down to 12-5.
That's pretty good.
Okay, so only one win fewer.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm looking at the schedule, and I think they're going to be probably 7-4 going into, you know, through their first 11 games.
So okay. 7-4. So who do you got the next two losses to?
Probably L.A. Let me see. I think
Baltimore. You got Baltimore on there. You got to get. Have to go to Baltimore. So that's a tough one.
You do have Cincinnati on there.
Right. They're going to. Right. I think. Yeah. It's going to be tough to pull that one out.
Yeah.
And then over the rest of the season going to be really tough going on. For some reason that Washington is going to, the Commanders are going to come over there, and so is Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
Yeah, Pittsburgh is never an easy win. So,
Commanders might actually be good. Thank you for the. Oh, go ahead.
Go ahead.
Thank you for the call, Rich.
Do you think we would split with the Commanders now? I had them sweeping the Commanders.
So I had them splitting with the Commanders and splitting with the Giants. I had them splitting with everybody.
You had them splitting, so going 3-3 in the division.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's where I had them.
So. Yeah, I had them sweeping the Giants, obviously, but I had them sweeping the Commanders. Had to revise that.
Yeah.
And then they'll probably split with the Cowboys and the Commanders. So I got them at 4-2 in the East.
If they beat the Giants both times.
Yeah, if they beat the Giants both times,
The speak of the devil, Reese comes at him, and OG Wade comes out of his hole. OG, you're on WIP.
Hello, how we doing today? Hey, yo, y'all dudes, it's funny. This has got to be the best radio ever.
for the Eagles to be in the situation that they're in right now. Y'all, you punks couldn't have dreamt this one up any different.
It's not good for us.
You know, and I kind of think you're kind of behind all of this. I don't know where you in there, but somewhere in there, you might have pulled the little thing with us with this Eagle thing. Because I know you did a little post-game show. You do your shows, and you got contact with the coach and the players. So you might have told them, let's drop this one so we can do the good radio this week.
Oh, you're talking to Ike.
Oh, you're talking about me?
Yeah,
I don't know anybody over there.
What
yeah.
happened now?
He's saying you might have
pulled a quickie on us.
He's saying that you convinced the team to lose so we would have good radio for the next 2 weeks.
I agree.
OG, I have to be honest with you. When they're bad, when they play bad, it certainly gives us stuff to talk about, but it's better when they win for all of us. So it's never good when they lose.
Well, we can play regardless.
Yeah. We can find
it. Let me say this here.
Yeah.
Yes.
Especially you, Spike. You'll find the chum, my God. Mm. And that idiot that just got off talking about, here's one thing that y'all guys, when y'all talking about what other quarterbacks could come here and do better with this team, with these weaponries, understand this here. If it wasn't for Jalen, A.J. Brown wouldn't be here.
Oh, stop.
If it wasn't for Jalen.
They traded for him.
If it wasn't. And who you think.
They traded
for him. No, he's saying Jalen was the one who was encouraging Howie to do it.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure Howie didn't know A.J. Brown was good.
No, he's the one that put it
stop,
in motion.
Stop.
He did. You got to give him credit.
Well, then you know what? Then he should be better at the guy who can get people the ball. A.J. Brown, I'm sure, is thrilled that his quarterback can't throw a ball 30 yards to a running back who's open by 7 yards. Yeah.
Well, did you? I don't know if you've seen the All-22. Did you?
Stop.
Oh, you just seen the TV version, right?
Stop.
You seen the TV version when he came open after Jalen was damn near out of bounds and throwing the ball on the run.
So he threw it to him.
Don't know.
Nah.
The All-22 actually makes it look worse, OG.
Yeah. The sideline view makes it look worse. The sideline view makes it look way worse.
Chase. So what? He missed a throw.
No.
So what? If that was the case,
he's not good. He's not good enough, OG. He's not good enough at the things that quarterback needs to be good at. He's not. He's not right now.
You're going to learn to listen to the OG.
No, I'm not.
And I'm going to wait for this day. I'm going to wait for it, and I'm going to tell you, Spike, instead of me like pushing you back and telling you can't get up, I'm going to allow you to get on. You know what I'm saying? Pause. But I'm going
to
get on the wagon, I mean, you know. And I'm not going to get upset with you and Jack, you know, although I can say this here. My passion is patience, because every time we get into this situation, Eagles turn it around.
Except for last year when they didn't turn it around.
Right. Hold on. Then everybody say, you know what? You was right about Jalen, OG.
So what's he doing well this year, OG? What's he doing well?
Say that again.
What's he doing well?
What he's doing well is he's obviously learning a new offense. Oh. He's trying to get on the same page with his receivers as he learned the new offense. This is the stuff.
Josh Allen got a new offensive coordinator in the middle of the season and got better immediately. Jalen Hurts has had an entire training camp has fewer touchdown passes than Daniel Jones and more interceptions.
Listen, the reason why Josh Allen appeared to get better. Look at the teams that he was playing against. When he finally played the team, which was Sunday, look what happened.
No.
Look what happened.
How many turnovers did he have on Sunday? How many turnovers did he have on Sunday?
He dropped five damn interceptions.
How many? Jalen Hurts leads the NFL in turnover-worthy plays. Number one, nobody's done it more. That has nothing to do with Devontae Smith running a bad route. It has nothing to do with this guy. It has nothing to do with the offensive coordinator. It has to do with the quarterback leads the league in turnover-worthy plays. He's playing bad. And if you can't admit he's playing bad, and you literally can't come up with one thing, because now when the team loses and he plays bad, you clowns don't even have your, he wins. And then when they lose, it's everybody else's fault. So when they win and he plays bad, he's leading. Leading them to wins. He's leading them to wins. But when he plays bad and they lose, what is happening? I thought all he does is win. What is their record in their last 11 games?
Jalen, so first of all, I'm with Nick Sirianni on this. I don't count their last 11 games.
Of course not.
We're 2-2. That team.
Is that good? Is 2-2 good?
That's a different team.
Is 2-2 good?
A different team.
Is 2-2 good?
Yes, it is. Yes.
Nope. That guy's going to have to admit, next time he comes on the show, he's going to have to admit Jalen's playing bad. Or he's not going to be able to come on the show anymore.
Oh, well, let's
we
not
need
do
OJ.
That. Yeah, let's not do that.
Come on.
Well, you can't get everybody to agree with you. You need the people who disagree with you.
Well, he's not playing good.
Well, I know, but it's great to have the people who don't care about that. They still view him a certain way.
Well, then he's going to have to hold
and
on
we all
longer.
Agreed with each other, then we'd have boring radio.
You know he's going to be
yes,
able to come
that.
On the
I'm
show.
Just talking.
Come on. I need
I'm just
him.
Talking.
I need him. I need his lunacy. Makes me sound smarter. Makes me sound like I know what he's talking about. I know what I'm talking
well,
about.
You do.
So, Elliot Shore Parks will join us next. Every Tuesday, we have Tuesdays with Elliot, 3 to 4 p.m.
This ought to be fun.
Well, we have a lot to talk about with Elliot. First of all,
Do I have anything to argue with him over today?
Well, Kellen. We'll get into Kellen Moore because there's been, we have some great sound from Chase Daniel talking about Jalen's adaption to the new offense. We have some sound from Michael Irvin and Rex Ryan on Jalen as well. And I think one question that we've had over the last couple of days is and Jack's mentioned it several times, that the offense looks similar to the previous offense, and people are suspicious that this is Nick Sirianni's influence on Kellen Moore and not, Kellen Moore or maybe Jalen Hurts or whatever. So we'll go over all of that with Elliot next. And Elliot asked the question that is all over sports media is, do you and Nick, talk to each other about what you're going to say to the team? And Jalen said, we have our moments. So,
I thought he said occasionally. Oh, he said we have our moments.
We have our moments. So
occasionally would probably be worse, right?
Yeah. We have our moments is a better clip.
Yeah, it is.
I think
it's
a better clip. Right. So, and we will ask Elliot, the same question that we're asking you on Hold'em or Fold'em Day on the WIP Afternoon Show. Are you holding or folding your preseason predictions with the Philadelphia Eagles? 215-592-9494. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.